Hello and welcome to an Albion Raw special. All a little bit gutted. We're all a little bit flat. We're all a bit discombobulated following the news today that Graham Potter has left and gone to Chelsea. Following our 5-2 victory over Leicester at the weekend, I don't think any of us thought it would be us going into the weekend looking for a new manager. But so it transpires. Graham has gone and he's taken the entire backroom staff with him, including Bruno and Ben Roberts. Of course, we've lost managers before, but somehow this feels different. But we will be appointing a new man from a position of strength. We're sitting fourth in the table. We've probably got the best squad we've ever assembled. And we will be a very attractive proposition for anyone who fancies it. Joining me today as we try and make some sort of sense out of all of this is, of course, Alan Wares. And as is tradition when we lose a manager, we are joined by Nick Trepanic. And Nick, this has been a bit of it devastating, really.
It's been a bad day. I mean, I've risen from my sick bed with COVID to be here with you this evening. And to be honest, you know, that's a very minor trouble compared to what's happened at the Albion. I mean, we knew that Potter would go at some point, and I think we suspected when Tuchel resigned that this might be the one, or certainly a temptation. But I don't think anyone was prepared for him taking Bruno and Ben Roberts. And I think, you know, that okay, Bjorn Hamburg, Billy Reid, they're his guys, Carl McCauley. But, you know, Bruno and Roberts were there. They're more part of the club than Potter was, you know, in that they've been here longer and that they're, you know, Bruno at least is a legend. And Roberts is, as I think I've said on Twitter, he's one of the best goalkeeping coaches in world football. You know, you know, yeah, fair enough. They want to advance their careers if that's the way they see it. But where does Potter get off taking those two? They're not his guys.
Does it not worry you the kind of the ease? I mean, obviously we're talking about the breakneck speed of things, but it's the ease with which, somewhere between the first phone call and the announcement, that he was able to take Bruno and Roberts with him. And the club allowing that, and that's really actually sort of, I think that of all things here, the thing that worries me the most, it's the apparent ease with which they were allowed to go.
So I suppose in football terms, it is. I mean, I believe there was £1 million for each of the coaches. But I mean, perhaps we do need to look at what's in the contracts for when these guys want to, well, in quotes, better themselves. I know you don't want to stand in employees' way, and that's part of the selling point for when we hire coaches of potential and good players. But, you know, there's got to be a point at which you don't want your trousers taken down regularly.
I mean, is there a point where I mean, obviously, if a club, for instance, obviously when Chelsea did come in for Graham, and obviously we've got to make them aware of his interest, but could we have not have just said, look, Graham, they've come in for you. We don't want to let you go.
Well, that in itself has so little credence, does it? I mean, I think it's fairly obvious that he'd have known that the club don't want it for him to go. But I think that the other thing about it is that we were all led to believe that for Graham Potter, money wasn't the big thing. So, okay, given Chelsea's track record in their ambivalence towards managers and coaches, and if money is not a clear and obvious...
I don't think it is a money thing, though, Al. I mean, basically,
okay, well, if it's not that, so that my point would ever be is this the right move for Potter, and is now the right time?
Never know if that offer is going to come again. You know, he might, anything might happen. You know, we might have a complete collapse in form after the World Cup. You know, three of our players might break legs. We might finish in the bottom six. His stock may go down. You know, he's on the crest of a wave, and he's in demand. And he didn't fancy Tottenham because there were people at that club he didn't like the idea of working with. I'm not sure Chelsea is completely different, but he must have obviously gone and listened to what Todd Bowley had to say, looked in his eyes, got the measure of the man, and decided that he was someone he could work with. Yeah. So, and you know, if you keep turning down invitations from top four clubs, then sooner or later people might say, oh, you know, he lacks the cojones to do it. Maybe it's now or never.
I mean, at the end of the day, in any other walk of life, if someone comes into you offering you more money, regular foreign travel, better staff to work, more accomplished staff to work with.
Yeah, he's going to be managing in the Champions League next week.
Exactly. And this, you know, for that reason, it's a no-brainer. The only the thing that we're concerned about is, obviously, yes, he was very much part of a project here, and he's always talking about the project, and the project isn't finished. That's the galling part, because it's like we thought that he would have the patience to actually see it through, bearing in mind that he knew that the column inches and the plaudits he was getting were well justified.
As has been pointed out, Chelsea have only done what we did to Swansea when we took him from there.
I don't buy that to the same extent. One, Swansea did renege on their recruitment policies. They said we're going to do this, this and this, and they ended up sort of offloading 30-odd players, bringing in six, and Potter had his one hand tied behind his back, and it was at the end of a season. Whereas here we're six games into it, and I think the comparison between Swansea and Brighton and Chelsea, given that now, in the league certainly, it's not unfair and unreasonable to say that we're one of Chelsea's rivals. Obviously not in terms of capacity and spending power and what have you, but on the pitch, we're one of Chelsea's rivals. We can give them a good game. I mean, we have the same record we had
this time last season, and things took a bit of a nosedive after that. So just because we're where we are now, we can't extrapolate Absolutely. That into assuming that, you know, we're rivals for that fourth place with Chelsea. I mean, the history suggests
True,
we aren't.
Would you have not said, I mean, in terms of the stats is one thing, but would you have not said that we've started, certainly in the last 14, 15 games, that we're a better side now than we were this time last year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, to some extent, it's an accident of the fixture list. I mean, last season, we had some pretty easy games to start with. We didn't have that this season. But, you know, it's the way football. Jonathan Wilson's written something in the Guardian. There is, you know, the big wad of cash that sort of comes slamming down on the dreams of any team that, you know, thinks they can challenge the top six. So if they can't beat you on the pitch, they'll beat you off it.
And that's exactly what they've been trying to do. Obviously taking Cucurella was one thing. And apparently, from what we're led to believe, this was, Bowley was very much aware of Potter when he was going for Cucurella.
If he was aware of Potter, then why, unless this is already what has happened, was he not, not going gung-ho, signing defender after defender after defender and bringing Aubameyang, who is possibly the least Graham Potter, you know, as I described him as a Florin Andoni deluxe, to bring all his issues onto the training ground. Why suddenly sack a manager after allowing him to spending the best part of 300 million quid on players that Potter might not want?
Well, this is it. This is the Chelsea scattergun approach, though.
We're led to believe there's now a master plan. Well, you know, I don't know how you marry that with what went on in the transfer window.
No, I don't think there is. And this is the issue. I mean, obviously, he has signed a five-year contract there. And
that, to be honest, is that piece of paper is a fantasy, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But I mean, basically, he would have been sold assurances that he will be given the opportunity to plan and to, like, overhaul and imprint his thing. And the Graham Potter, if anyone who appoints Graham Potter, they're not going to get instant gratification. You've got to be in for the long game. And reading through the Chelsea comments today, they want him sacked already.
Well, this is the issue, isn't it? I mean, it's who runs Chelsea? Is it the management, who are very, very inexperienced when it comes to running a Premier League club? Don't get me wrong, they've got experience of running major sports teams, but not running a Premier League club. Or is it the fans, who are the ones who, you know, do they have this kind of disproportionate sway with the club? Because let's put it this way, if you come back to here, the level of sway that the fans have with Tony Bloom when it comes to operational matters is minimal. That's not to say that Tony knows best and he gets it right all the time. But he gave Potter the room to breathe at times when people were calling for Potter's head when we weren't doing so well. You know, he could see the big picture, but Chelsea don't have that big picture. They have
this tunnel vision, don't they? They still haven't appointed a director of football or a technical director or whatever you want to say. I mean, they had Petr Cech, and they had Marina Granovskaya, who was, you know, a very well-respected executive director. And that whole football structure seems to have gone. And you're doing it slightly, you know, the wrong way around. The director of football, the technical director, is supposed to set the tone for the club. And, you know, when Ashworth was there, then, you know, he was deciding that Potter was the head coach. Now we've got the head coach and they're going to sort of fit a technical director in over him. I think that's the wrong way around. But if Potter's happy with that, I suppose he is.
I did read somewhere that a technical director is incoming in as much as they're going to implement this plan. And you're probably not in the dissimilar way to the Newcastle, who've been sort of behind the curve for the past God knows how long and are now catching up. and are looking at something like the Brighton model to say, well, actually, if Ickle Brighton can get this far, imagine what we can do. So yes, the structure needs to be in place. And maybe, who knows, Graham Potter, who's going to see a sporting director or a technical director as an equal rather than as a boss to go with. And there's no way it can be Bowley, because even though he did have that sort of nominal role there, you know, it's one that's not sustainable, because in each and every sense, Bowley will always overrule the manager. So you can't have this healthy conversation. Yes, there is a kind of an air of arse about face about it. So even when we talk about timing, are we talking about timing in terms of Graham Potter's part of his career, or timing in as much as the Chelsea haven't got their act together yet? And the Chelsea fans are going to have to be, and this is their problem, are going to have to be patient while not just Potter sorts the team out on the pitch, but while the club themselves sort out what's going on in the back room and in the boardroom. Because for better or for worse, Abramovich's money now means nothing, and they've got to start again.
It just feels like the wrong club at the wrong time for me. And I think
that's what a lot of people are finding disappointing. Even when the story was breaking that Chelsea, their first target was him, and Bowley's done his homework, and in that sense, you can understand why it's the case. But a lot of people are saying, well, hang on, we're of the opinion that it's not just the fact that Potter's done brilliantly for us and we don't want him to go, and we're looking at that with seagull tinted eyes. But I think we're all of the opinion he's not got the experience in the Premier League to go to a club, and each of the big six, whether it's a player or a manager, they have to be there. They can't just slot into the role and grow into it. They have to be ready made. They have to be, excuse the phrase, up and ready. And Graham Potter is not that. I mean, if it means a change of tack in what Chelsea are trying to do, then fair enough. But given the way that they treated Tommy Tuchel, it's not that obvious that they've done so yet.
And there's another issue with not just the Chelsea fans, but the Chelsea players. And if you go back to David Moyes' experience at Old Trafford when he succeeded Sir Alex Ferguson, you know, you got players who'd won titles and European Cups and stuff like that, you know, were sort of questioning training methods and saying, you know, why are we doing this? You know, we've never done that before. And Moyes and his coaches would say, this is the way we did it at Everton. And they said, yeah, what did you win at Everton? You know, you've won nothing. Yeah. Why should we do this? You know, we know what it takes to win. And there will be players at Chelsea, you know, who are going to be thinking that, even if they're not saying it to his face. And he's got to...
The egos.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, there are some good players there. And, you know, the players that any club in the country would want to have. But there are one or two others, you know.
Again, reading the piece in The Athletic, which seemed to be in a sort of a collaborative effort between all the various, about three or four different writers, there was one thing that came across. Now, we have to take their word for it. We don't know the extent to which it's true, but let's work on the assumption it is that Tuchel was very divisive when it came to man management. I mean, and we've heard this before at Brighton Hove Albion. He was a superb coach. Everyone acknowledges his coaching skills, and they are so much amongst it, but he's not a man manager. And he would actually completely and utterly blank players that he dropped without giving an explanation. There would be no consideration. If some players need that stroking, then some need carrot, some need stick. He wouldn't do any of it. And we know that Potter is not that kind of person. So it will represent at the very least a new broom that everyone will be inclusive. And that, I think, is probably the way that he is going to have to.
I think that's maybe why he's taking Bruno with him, because Bruno was that link.
Well, so is Potter himself. He is that kind of person. I think there will be a culture shift amongst the Chelsea players, amongst the squad. And I think there's going to have to be. But I think Potter is actually one of those people who can pull that off. It's the extent to which he's going to say, right, we're changing this, 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 and this. I mean, for anyone that says, well, hang on, this is what we did at Brighton in the way that Moyes said this is what we did at Everton, at least he can say, yeah, and you never beat us.
True, but I mean,
he'll say you've only finished in the top half once. You know, we've is my Champions League winners medal.
Yes, absolutely. So
I'm a world champion. They can say at the moment, can't they? I mean, that is the thing. I mean, Tuchel won things. You know, has won things in a number of different countries, and if he can't stay the course, well, good luck, Graham.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move to the here and now. Obviously, Graham has gone. He has left behind possibly the best squad of players that we've ever had in our history.
He left behind a squad of players that suited what he wanted to do. So I think what happens next, and this is where the club have their plan and their continuation. I'm sure that you're familiar with this. It's kind of they find a manager to suit the squad they have rather than bringing in a manager who's going to actually just blow everything to smithereens. In other words, they've got to find someone who actually fits the pattern.
This is the beauty of having, you know, the proper director of football, technical director system. you know, that they picked David Weir to follow Dan Ashworth because they obviously believe that, you know, he shares the same vision and wants to promote the same style of football, and it wouldn't make any sense at all. And these days you see it less and less at clubs, you know, when you sack a manager and all his staff and bring in someone who does something completely different. I mean, that tends not to happen at the more enlightened clubs, you know, which we like to think the Albion are. So it's a test of the succession planning, because, you know, we've got not just to find a new head coach, but a new assistant head coach and a chief coach and whatever Bruno's title was, and an assistant director of Paul Winstanley, I presume, is still there. And
yes, Paul Winstanley said he's under him
and a goalkeeping coach.
I mean, obviously, the players that have been left behind, obviously, a lot of these players have got very, very close relationships with Graham. They've been brought in by Graham. They've been mentored by him, particularly some of the young ones. Billy Gilmore, I feel really sorry for.
Oh, not as much as Aubameyang, who wanted to play for Tuchel again, and I think played 17 minutes for Tuchel before he got the sack.
Yeah, I've got to say this. If we have this proper succession planning, and the next person who comes in is as close as we've got to Potter and is as good, then Billy Gilmore is not going to spend his time worrying about that. I understand your point. He's gone there because Brighton do this.
It wasn't just Billy Gilmore I'm talking about, Al. I mean, it's
of course. I mean, it's anyone. Absolutely, they all want that level of succession. And that one tweet that you reposted, looking at that fella in Norway and the way that he sets up, you think, well, hang on, this looks very familiar. So you know that there are coaches out there. So the club themselves will want that sense of continuation. I think that what there is that. And here we are on the outside feeling that sense of anxiety and concern. But you know full well that Tony Bloom and Paul Barber and David Weir and Paul Winstanley's little black book is probably going to be huge and full, and they're going to get so many applications. And I wouldn't mind betting that they've already got, well, if a man in mind, then a short list of more than five.
It would be gross dereliction of duty if they didn't have, you know, a list for every position in the largest sense in the club. I mean, you know that they've got players lined up for every position, and I'm sure they've got coaches and assistant coaches and physios and everything. And,
absolutely.
Well, I know they have. So, you know, it's just a question of who's at the top of their list and what they're doing, even as we speak about putting out feelers, assuming they didn't start, you know, as soon as the call came from Chelsea.
Obviously the bookies aren't off that they've got a list of stupid names. There's a couple of guys on there that sprung out to me. Felix Mazu, who was the USG manager last league, won the league. He's gone to Anderlecht now. He's obviously well known to the club, particularly to Tony. So, I mean, that could be an interesting one. Carol Geraltz, he's currently at USG. I mean, there's stupid names on there. I mean, as soon as Brendan Rodgers,
Alan Kirbishley on the list. Is Sam Allardyce on the list? Is Alan Pardew? Sorry, no offence, Nick. Is Alan Pardew on the list?
No, and Kerbs has been out of the game for a long time, but he's a former Albion player, you know, and people like to make those connections, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I'm amazed Russell Martin isn't further up the list as a...
I never understand the thinking behind, they used to play for us so they know the club. No, they don't.
Russell Martin didn't really play for us.
No, he didn't play for us, but...
Jones has been out of the loop for 8 years.
I actually saw Russell Martin's Swansea team play in a game last season at Millwall, I think. And honestly, he makes Potter's Brighton looks like Sean Dyche's Burnley. I mean, they're passing. They were sort of playing 1-2s in their own 6-yard box. It was just ridiculous. It was if somebody said, "Okay, do Potter ball only more so, you know, to the nth degree, a bit dangerously so." I thought, but you know, there are people playing that sort of game out there. I think Swansea might refuse to let us talk to any more of their managers. About Emma Hayes?
Well, I was actually thinking if he really wants to go left field, not that she'd leave her job, Serena Weigman. I'd love for her to be here because you see the way the England women play, even against the top sides, they still look good. Probably not. But it's probably a step too far. I mean,
someone's going to do it sooner or later. I think AFC Wimbledon were sort of contemplating. No,
they did approach Emma Hayes, didn't they?
But yeah. Not in the Premier League and not yet.
But I mean, they're, obviously there's a whole world of managers, and obviously, I mean, we've got, it'll be some South American we've probably never heard of and have to have like a new system of 1-10 or something. And
the Knutsen, I don't know if you've ever seen his Bodo Glimt team play. I saw them play against Celtic. Unbelievable, you know, they absolutely took Celtic to the cleaners at Celtic Park last year in the Europa League, or was it the Europa Conference? But they look, apropos of nothing, just watching the game, and I just thought, wow, you know, who's managing this team? They look really good. And then, of course, Mourinho's Roma over two legs.
Yes. Is that your preference, Nick?
Well, he's an interesting name. I mean, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Tony Bloom thinks. And he may have, you know, someone who's been on their radar for a long time that isn't on the Betfair radar. Incredible.
Yeah, and I don't think conversations on Norwegian clubs going to be particularly be an issue, is it?
Well, they're competing in Europe. So
Potter came from Sweden.
I mean, there's talk of Postecoglou at Celtic, who's done a great job there as well. But you know, they're competing in the Champions League currently, probably not for much longer. Knowing Celtic,
it's all wild. I think that, frankly, we all really need to wait until Fabrizio Romano has said what Manchester City think.
So, I mean, we're going to leave it there. So, obviously, there's an awful lot of stuff we don't know. It's all still very raw. And
All I'd ever say is, listen, we've been here before. It was a weird one when Houghton went. That was pretty brutal as a sacking went. Different circumstances, but it was still quite a shock. We've been here before. You know, the club is 120 plus years old. Been there, seen it, done it, got the T-shirt, and we will be okay.
And that's where we'll leave it. So, thank you for listening to this Albion Raw podcast special. And we'll see you back next week for the regular show. I'll see you then. Bye.
Oh, Bruno, what have you done? We don't talk about Bruno, no, no, no. We don't talk about Bruno. But it was my wedding day. It was our wedding day. We were getting ready and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. No clouds allowed in the sky. Bruno walks in with a mischievous grin. Down the door. You're telling the story, or am I? I'm sorry, maybe that go wrong. Says it looks like rain. Why did he tell us? In doing so, he floods my brain. I will like the umbrella. Married in a hurricane. What a joyous day, but anyway. We don't talk about Bruno. No, 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 no. We don't talk about Bruno. Hey, Bruno live in fear. Bruno stuttering or stumbling. I can always hear him sort of muttering and mumbling. I associate him with the sound of my head. Your friend is still